This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Caleb Williams almost blew up going to the Chicago Bears, we find out, in a new book. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray. Andrew Perloff. Didn't happen, obviously. Caleb just finished his season with the Bears. But turns out, according to a new book written by Seth Wickersham, Pearl, he came explored all opportunities, whether it was talking to labor lawyers, talking to Archie Manning, maybe exploring going to the UFL. Yeah. They really wanted to back channel him not going to Chicago because, as Caleb's father says on the record, Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die.
Yeah. No surprise. He's absolutely accurate. Again, I kind of wish he'd went through this. I've been dying for someone to challenge the draft. The last time it happened was Maurice Claret in 14, I believe. The draft is completely illegal. There's nothing, you know, you're telling, can you imagine any other profession where you told a person you have to go work in this city and go work for these bosses? You're coming out of college, you don't have a choice. Like investment banking or any other high level industry does not work like that. Drafts are totally silly, but it's monopolistic behavior, but they let him get away with it.
Well, the weird thing is it's funny because when it comes to football, you actually could go play for another league. Like, no one is telling you you have to go play for the Bears. But
leagues aren't good, though. There's only one good league.
No, they're not paying nearly as much. I totally understand that. But anyway, so Caleb Williams, it did seem like it was a legitimate concern. He wanted to go to the Vikings, said that was never going to happen. And Ryan Poles, the GM, told his family that was not going to happen. But this all did go down behind the scenes until a pre-draft visit to Chicago that Caleb took, where he said, all right, I'm meeting people. I think I can make this work. And then told Seth Wickersham, this is Caleb, I wasn't ready to nuke the city. And to me, that means you weren't ready yet.
Well, why? But
are we
understand.
Only a matter of time before something else, you know, can either further confirms your suspicions that Chicago is a place quarterbacks go to die? And if you do want out before your contract is up or something like that, do we ever get to a point where he's trying to pull something like that NBA stars pull, which is trying to get to a different city?
But how does this play out? Like, what kind of season would he have to have to do that? Wouldn't he have to have a good season? Like, he can't be bad and then say, I'm playing a power play.
Well, there's a lot of different ways that a season can go wrong, right? Injuries, it can go wrong. Coaching incompetence, it can go wrong. Right. Scandals in the front office, it can go wrong. There's a bevy of ways that things turn sour for a franchise. And what I'm just saying about Caleb and these quotes coming out is maybe they all move forward together and this is never spoken of ever again. Or maybe you're getting a window into, I didn't want to enter into this marriage to begin with.
Right.
I talked myself into it. And at the first sign of trouble, I'm going to try to do whatever I can to nuke the city or go rogue or get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think he's a quarterback and he's a young player. I think he's just more worried about, I want to play well. I want to look good. Not in a selfish way. Like, I think he's just more worried about looking like a really good quarterback. And if he can do that, then why would he leave Chicago? But if he plays badly, I think then he's in the bust category, and I don't think people are going to be knocking down the doors to get him. If he's bad with that team this year, I don't think it's going to. Yeah, he'll definitely get a second shot, but it's not going to be like, you know how NBA teams are going after Giannis right now.
Right,
like people are not going to be lining up packages if he plays terribly this year. It's just not how the NFL works.
It's not how it works yet. You know, I think Caleb is obviously, the fact that even his family is going on the record in this book to say how deeply they went down the road here on exploring other options besides the Bears, I think shows you they're not messing around and they're not afraid to step out of the lane that most 99.999% of people go down, which is just right. getting drafted and going there and trying to make the best of it, and whatever happens, happens. I think they're showing you here, like, yeah. we will take a nuclear option.
Right, because, you know, there's one thing the NFL teams love is active dad. That's really going to help yeah. his help
Deion
his
Sanders, baby.
Yeah, yeah. If teams had known this in advance, they would have let him go to the fifth round probably, like Deion. No, Shador, sorry. Yeah, no, I just don't think he's there. This is all past tense. Everything in that book happened. Too late now, dude. You're in Chicago. You decide not to go nuclear. Now you have to live with the consequences. Although I do think whoever got to the Bears got to them well, because they're setting them up for success. But I do have a fear.
What's that?
I mean, Ryan Poles kept Matt Eberflus.
Or ownership did.
I think
how's the power dynamic in that building?
I think, well, it's Kevin Warren is the
president.
But generally, no, Ryan Poles made some big mistakes. So I think we're giving him a lot of faith that he won't make future mistakes. I worry about it. Like, whatever. Ryan Poles is the one who brought in Shane Waldron for him. So it's the same GM. So I worry that this might now. It looks on paper like it's working out. They got an offensive guru. But I do worry about that GM.
I think it's fair. And the Bears have this really bad habit of always staggering their hirings and firings. So they never clean house with the GM and the coach gone at the same time.
Could happen again.
Could happen again, right, where they keep Ben Johnson and bring in another GM, and now who's got the power and who's calling the shots, and this is how bad franchises stay bad or stay mid or whatever you want to call it. But I just think about this, like, from a personal relationship standpoint. Like, this is not a love story. And it may turn into one, and they may learn to love each other, but it's not starting as a love story. And it's not starting, it clearly didn't start off on a good note, because Caleb Williams also says he never thought it could work with Shane Waldron. They obviously all got fired in the middle of the season. He was watching tape with nobody. Right. He took 68 sacks last year. Like, it's a miracle that it kind of didn't go as horribly as it even could have gone, considering how bad the circumstances.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I wonder who got that narrative out there.
Well, I mean, again, Caleb's going to have a mouthpiece. Sounds and he's not hiding, by the way. He's putting his name on all this stuff.
Yes. Well, in the past, he's not saying, no, he's not coming out in front of a podium and saying all that right now.
Well, he's going to get asked about it.
Yeah, he's going to get asked about it. And he's going to talk around
it's in a
it.
Book.
But all his, by the way, unfortunately for him, all his excuses are gone now. Like, what possible excuses do you have next year?
Well, let's see.
I mean, you think
Ben Johnson is going to be the second coming, and I want to see him coach a game first.
Well, I mean, listen,
as a head coach,
he has a lot of money invested in the wide receiver room. He has a lot of resources and money invested in the O-line. He's got two really good tight ends. Like, I think it's on him now. I think he brought, by the way, and I think he forced this, all these moves. I think this is what he was talking about. He's like, I don't want to be with Shane Waldron. Get me somebody good. I mean, and by the way, Ben Johnson might as well be Kevin O'Connell. They're the same person. Get me a young offensive guru and let's go. This is now fully on him next year. I think, and by the way, I think he'll be fine. But if he's not, then it's possible he's a bust. I mean, are we ruling out the fact that he might not be good? I know he was hyped, but I'm not so sure.
I think more people will blame the Bears. 888-710-4ISN. For ISN. 888-710-4476. Let's get to Aaron Rodgers.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Well, let's ask Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on his podcast talking about Aaron Rodgers and his future in Pittsburgh. Let's hear it.
Well, Ty, everybody's waiting to hear from Aaron Rodgers. And I believe the Steelers have a mandatory minicamp June 10th to the 12th. And I would think that if Aaron Rodgers is going to commit to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I don't know why he wouldn't, that we would get word from him some point in early June before or right at the start of that mandatory minicamp.
Okay, and we got more from Schefter looking at the Steelers' schedule. What did it say to him?
Aaron Rodgers, if he plays, gets a chance to go up against the Jets, Seahawks, Vikings, Packers, Bears, and Lions. What are we waiting for? Go get the deal done, get into Steelers camp, and get ready for the June mandatory minicamp and a schedule that is tailor-made for him.
Right, so there's Schefter talking about Rodgers, tailor-made for Rodgers, starting with the Jets. That's an obvious one because that's the team he last played for. But he knows the NFC North so well that it's tailor-made for him.
Well, no, also he's saying the Jets is a revenge game. Seattle is his famous rivalry with. Then he gets Minnesota, who didn't take him this offseason, grudge match. Then they get another grudge match Week 8 against Green Bay, they scheduled all these revenge games for when they think Aaron Rodgers is going to be healthy.
Well, it also just broke right that the AFC North plays the NFC North this year.
But they could have put those games. Let me ask you this question. Do you think they put New York there on purpose?
I think the league is cute like that. We asked Donnie Bose that yesterday, the VP of NFL broadcasting. He said he actually thought that the league showed restraint in how few primetime games they gave the Steelers if they really knew it was a slam dunk that Rodgers was going.
Yeah, I think they...
It's a good answer for Monty, but...
I think the fact that they put Minnesota and Green Bay in the first half of the schedule, not an accident. But the other thing that I'm a little worried about, he said he'll be there by the mandatory minicamp. We thought he was going to be there by the first minicamp.
Yeah, that came and went.
So hard to predict. I'm not so sure I'm going to listen. Schefter actually said that. He's like, he's going to be here by this first minicamp. Not there. Are we worried if he does come? Like, is he going to get to know these receivers? Like, is he pulling an Aaron Rodgers where he's going to have to learn all this on the fly?
Well, I think the season just feels so long now. I know it's only one extra game that we were used to from 16 to 17, but it just feels like the season goes on for an eternity.
Yeah, but it's a new team. I know what you're saying, but it's a new team. Favre came on August 8th, by the way, the Jets.
They got off to a great start.
Yeah.
They did.
I mean, it wasn't as electric as I think you and EJ make it out sound. He was fine.
No, they were winning games. I mean, they had a great offensive line. They had a run game. They had a great defense.
I thought it looked wonky with Favre.
Well, he got hurt, and then
I just thought also. No, I just didn't think he looked totally comfortable in that offense. It wasn't his offense. Then he went to Minnesota, and he looked immediately comfortable. Yeah.
Either way, it wasn't a train wreck until we found out later about all the Jen Sturger stuff, and it got wildly embarrassing for them. But as far as the football was concerned, it wasn't embarrassing by any stretch.
They were okay. Like, it wasn't great. That was a failure. I know you guys are looking at it in rose-colored glasses. Like, he did not look like Brett Favre when he was a Jets quarterback. Okay. He looked like a middling quarterback.
Well, forget about history, Pearl. Let's just bring it to present day.
The same person.
Bring it to present day.
That'd be a mistake, because everything that Favre does, Rodgers does.
Okay, so you were expecting AFC championship game then for Rodgers and Pittsburgh if you think that they're so same?
I think Rodgers could be way better. I wish he'd gone to Minnesota. Then I think he would have been an MVP.
Right.
Yes, I definitely think he's falling. I think he's going to be much improved. I just worry about that team. I think Rodgers is going to look much better. Don't you?
Probably because he's further away from the Achilles.
Yes.
There. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, he is also, like Brett Favre in that situation, system dependent. He's got to get in his offense. It's very particular. You talk about the hand signs.
Yeah.
That's why I want him there. I want him there now.
Yeah, I think he can get up to speed here. But the problem is he going to be flexible at all? You know, I don't know what Arthur Smith is planning, but is he going to be flexible at all, or does everything have to be exactly how Aaron wants it to be?
Yeah.
He's already been throwing with DK Metcalf. I mean, I think that's probably it's a good sign.
Yeah, I just worry that offense isn't great to start with. He didn't look, Rodgers didn't look super comfortable with the Jets either. Right, didn't look like he was running somebody else's offense. That's how I thought of this. I'm like, every time he calls a play and throws a pass, he looks frustrated.
Well, I would just say, do you think it would be a success if the Steelers won 9 games this year with Rodgers?
No, they have to make the playoffs to be a success.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, don't you kind of think the Steelers are winning 9 games no matter who's playing quarterback?
Probably. So, yes. So, I don't think that's a success. I think they have to get to the playoffs for it to be a success. What's your line?
I think they could win 9 games and get to the playoffs. I think they're going to be thereabouts, 9 or 10. I don't see them going 13 and, 3, 4.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure 9-8 gets you into the playoffs in the AFC. Definitely does in the NFC. No, I think they got
the Steelers in. What did the Steelers have last year?
I think they were 10-7.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you got to step it up a little. I mean, we're nitpicking here. If they don't make the playoffs and he plays all season, I think we're going to kill this move.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay. We had some changes made to one iconic franchise. But what was the motivation behind it? Send a message, perhaps? Get to that next. MVP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. A lot going on today. We got baby photos on the internet at Maggie and Pearl. Everybody looks good except Maggie. Just a preview. Sorry.
What is that about?
I don't know. Everyone's got a cute baby picture. It's not a real picture. It's AI generated. So it's not even, like, even the computer couldn't do right by me.
Yeah. Blame AI. It's going to be the end of all of
not
us.
DNA.
Manny, of course. Manny has a mustache and a Knicks jersey on there. Maggie has this really half-concocted plan to find love tonight at the Knicks game.
Well, for Manny to find
love. And Manny has no interest in this. We got to watch out for our guy this weekend. He's feeling it. He's really grinding, Maggie.
Who, Jalen Brunson?
Manny.
Manny's grinding tape?
Grinding. No, he's grinding. Like, he is miserable.
Are you miserable right now?
I am miserable 24/7, so I don't know what he's talking about.
But I asked, are you excited tonight? He's like, basically,
you're nervous.
He almost said, I want to slip my wrist. He's so nervous about this game.
Jeez.
Like, you
don't
are so
wild.
I think it'll be only relief if they win, no joy. Like, why are you so scared they're going to lose?
I'm not scared. There's no panic or anything. I don't know where this...
He's out of his mind, Pearl. You're killing him right
now.
Here's what he's going through.
Anxiety attack now.
I know. Here's what he's... There's not enough Xanax in the world to help Manny right now. Here's what he's going through.
Or Zens. Or alcohol.
Maybe the combination of all three might do the trick, but I don't know. This is what he's going through. He's going through his team up 3-1. The best team, best player on the other team injured.
Right.
And then there was just this big rally by that injured, wounded animal to come back and beat your team. And they showed nothing. Karl Anthony Towns was a zero. OG Anunoby was a zero. Mikal Bridges was a zero. And the thing is, now you're home, and sometimes the home crowd makes you hyped, and sometimes the home crowd makes you tight.
Well, that's all true. But I think there's more going on here. For example, I'm a Sixers fan. If they were up 3-1, I think this happened to them not too long ago, and they lost a series, I'd be upset, but I'd be like, yeah, business as usual. Manny and EJ, our executive producer, have been talking mad trash this last week, and I don't think they want all their trash talk to be completely refuted by a Knicks loss. So I think not only is there pressure to win as a fan, but they put their neck out there being like, we have Jalen Brunson, we're the best. So I think there's a little extra here, especially for EJ. EJ was walking around like he invented basketball. Like, he was Dr. James Naismith. He's like, did you see what me and the Knicks did? So I think basically there's different ways to approach the playoffs. You can be cautious and bet against your own team every game and talk. Like, I think that's the way you and I approach it. We don't want to jinx him. Or you can just sort of wear it and be like, yes, we're going to win this game.
Man, he's having a panic attack. What confidence is he leaking right now?
I actually might bet on the Knicks tonight because Manny is so depressed.
No, I think that Knicks fans expected the Celtics to gentlemen sweep
them.
They
did.
Okay, and all of a sudden they put together these comebacks in the fourth quarter. They're stealing games left and right. They're doing it in Boston.
Right.
And so, okay, now the momentum goes with the Knicks.
Well, no. The Knicks fans, no. They got that 2-0 lead, and they started to act like we are the 1960 Celtics that we won 11 titles in a row. Mm. They got cocky fast.
I don't know.
It's not cockiness.
They're just excited.
It's excitement.
He's not
here. You were telling me EJ didn't get cocky about the Knicks, then you weren't here.
No, I don't think EJ was cocky about the Knicks. I think EJ has just been, battered over the past 25 years, and he just doesn't know how to act anymore, just like me.
They don't know what to do. And that's why I would suggest to Manny to go to the watch party and, enjoy it first and foremost.
I literally don't know what I'm doing.
And you may find, the counter, the female Knicks fan. And now, boom, you got a summer romance.
By the way, I've seen the videos. Not a lot of women in those crowds either.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong, dog.
Well, that's why, the odds may be good, but the goods are odd. No, I think that whoever's there, there's going to be some chicks there.
Not a lot.
But some, you know what? We're just saying there's
there might
a chance.
Not be a single.
There's a lot of women Knicks fans.
It is a Friday night in New York City, so there is some aspect of hooliganism in New York City that might counter with the hooliganism at Madison Square.
Yeah, you know, women love to step into that or hooliganism. No, I think that you're going to find a lot of like cute female Knicks fans there.
Yeah, you're not going to find one. I will guarantee you that.
It's not an Eagles crowd.
Less than five. I'm almost tempted to go with you. No, I can't.
You suck.
But I wish I could.
To be a wingman?
Yeah.
So you hate the Knicks. You wouldn't be able to get past them.
I don't like the Knicks.
You've got to fall on a grenade, and I don't think you're willing to do that. Yeah. And that means being nice to the Knicks.
The bigger thing is my wife has already made plans for tonight, so she's claimed the evening. So I have to bring my kids, which might mean that they pretend to be yours. Would that help? What do you think?
I mean, I was a spectacular camp counselor, so I could probably take care of them children.
I think you got to say this is my cousins or nephews or something. Because you want the, hey, I'm good with kids, but I don't have the baggage.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, yeah, these are my nephew. What's your name again?
Jim? Dude, Dave, whatever.
I'm sorry.
Here's my nephew. He's got a suspect Little League baseball record that gets roasted on.
Big win last night. Huge win.
I'm looking at pictures of the crowd.
Orioles.
All right, sorry. I'm looking at pictures of the crowd. There ain't a single woman, not a single woman in this entire crowd.
Well, this is what's going to make the story so spectacular. Manny's going to find the one.
This looks like the most unlikable group of people, too.
That's
God.
Philly collar glasses.
Have you ever seen people outside of Philadelphia City Hall climbing, you know, light poles and eating horse manure? Get out of here, brother.
Oh, dude.
You want to talk about miserable individuals.
Now, the women in that crowd.
But seriously, I'm going to send you three pictures
Kylie
of this
Kelsey's
crowd.
Like,
no, I'm good with the Delco ladies. I'm good.
If you can find a woman in this crowd, then have at it. There,
it's like we're
have at it.
There's not, I'm pulling multiple pictures. Is this like a? Are women not allowed to do something?
Yes, the Knicks block like party is segregated.
It's like a sinking ship. The women and children get off first.
Now,
that's how the Knicks have been described over the past 4 years.
Bogish, I'm told you have some updated sound for us from friend of the show, Bill Belichick.
Billy Belichick was just on Good Morning America for 9.5 minutes pushing his new book. Michael Strahan waited until the very last minute to ask about Jordan Hudson.
She's been terrific, you know, through the whole process, and she's been very helpful to me. She does the business things that don't relate to North Carolina that come up in my life, so I can concentrate on football, and that's really what I want to do.
That was.
Oh, so did he say she's been terrific? Is that the first thing he said? Okay.
Yeah.
So she's been through the process. What process?
Of him becoming the North Carolina head coach and then writing the book. So the long story short is the first question that Strahan tried, Belichick dodged it. Then he got that answer from a second question. He went for a third, and Belichick gave him the smiling giggle, and I'm not doing personal relationships. You know that, Michael. So Strahan closed with, are you happy? You seem happy. And he said yes. Okay. And they made a yoga joke, and then it was over.
Oh, like the video on the beach?
Because Strahan said, I can't believe I saw you do yoga. And then he said, only happy people do yoga. I don't know if that's true
Belichick
or not.
Said that?
No, Strahan said that to Belichick.
Oh, I was going to say, I can't see Belichick making a yoga joke.
No, Strahan did.
Did Strahan make a we halted your undefeated season joke?
That's how they opened. Yeah.
It's a good way to get off on the right foot. Mm-hmm. Remember when we beat you in the game that was going to cement your team as the greatest in the history of the NFL?
Matter of fact,
so,
I do.
Here's a question about, this is BS from Belichick, by the way. So it's a nice thing to say, or yeah, Jordan has nothing to do with North Carolina. You asked to CC her on all correspondence from higher ups at North Carolina.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold up. No. Now, yeah, is she calling coverages and deciding which quarterbacks to take out of the portal? No. But the program is much bigger than just what goes on the field. And especially in college, those lines are really blurred.
Not anymore, though. Now I think colleges are more like pros. He is a GM. So there's a football operations and there's business operations. Yeah. Just like the NFL.
And she still doesn't work for North Carolina. So,
right,
so why is she CC'd on stuff about Bill from North Carolina?
Well, that's still on the business side, though. He's saying she's my personal assistant in a sense. Like, anything business she can do, anything football I will do. So, you know, like you have two presidents. You have a president of football and you have a president of business, and she's on the business side. She's not doing any recruit stuff. She's not doing any depth chart stuff. Like, what?
You seem very confident that these lines haven't been blurred when I don't think anything has showed us that they are separate.
But what possible impact does she have on the football side? Like, give me an example. Do you think she's going with him to a recruiting trip? I'm not sure what you mean.
No clue about that, but I think that we already saw that they had a problem with about the social media and about the monitoring the comments and the social media. Right, that to me is part of the program.
That's part of the program, but it's definitely the business side. Like in New England, you think that Bill Belichick considered the social media guy part of the football program? No, that's the business side.
Well, it's the Patriot way.
But
was that all football, or was that also part of the media policy? And the social media people for football teams are without a doubt hand in hand with the players. And the coaches get messaging out and what words to avoid and not avoid.
Right, Belichick
blurred this line back to New England.
They're definitely not impacting the football side. I mean, Billy, who's 23 years old out of Northwestern, who gets a job, that has no impact on the football side. Like, zero. It's the business side.
You have a more narrow view of what the football side is than I do.
Well,
you're calling it the plays that are getting called.
No. I think North Carolina, I do disagree. I think it's a pro organization. I mean, I think he's running it like an NFL team. I do think there's a huge separation in the building between business and pro. For example, if you're on the business side and you come in the draft room and say, oh, that guy's really good, you will have four coaches turn immediately and say, know your place. Like that's a big thing in NFL organizations. You're not supposed to be a business guy who comments on football. Like they all take that stuff very seriously.
Okay. Here's a question I have for you. Do you think Bill Belichick was cool when Alex Guerrero was so involved with Brady on the business and personal side that he didn't consider that bleeding into football at all? He thought, oh, this is just Brady's guy. No, he got ticked off about it. It basically broke up their relationship. Belichick,
I think that
someone
was,
else who was outside the building, who was not an employee of the Patriots, right. He had a huge problem with to the tune of running Brady out of town. This is the same thing.
No, this is not the same. That guy was messing with his players' health plans and bodies. Like, there were guys who the team doctors were saying, you have to do this for your knee. Then Alex Guerrero was saying, you have to do this for your knee.
They sought out Guerrero.
But right. But that's a lot. That's much closer to real football than a social media post.
Okay, so how about this? Jordan Hudson's doing such a good job for Belichick that someone else wants to hire her to do their social media.
Okay.
Same as Guerrero. And Belichick, who, you know, Gronkowski all of a sudden wanted to work with Guerrero, and Belichick had a huge problem with it. I'm just saying it's hypocritical. The lines are blurred. And he can say this as a nice thing to say to Michael Strahan to get him off his back on a GMA interview, but it doesn't hold water to me.
Well, yeah, but I do think, I mean, I'm sure Bill wasn't lying. Like, she does not have any say on the football side, right? Like, she's not deciding who's going to be the quarterback. like I think the football coach is probably... Like, yeah, I'm sure she does like tweets and PR messages and things. Like,
I think she's breaking down all 22 films.
Yeah.
Has she scouted Clemson?
Like, come August, Bill's going to be like, who am I going to play at left guard? I don't think he's going to go to Jordan. I think he's going to go to some old crotchety football coach and be like, who do you like?
Jordan, we have a big game against Virginia.
Yeah.
Big game against Virginia. What do you think we should do?
What's Duke's special teams look like?
But again, at the spring game, she's on the field.
Fixing his mic.
Yeah, I know. But like, so she's involved with North Carolina football.
Does that
like,
mean the NFL Films guys at Hard Knocks are involved with Cleveland Browns
football? No, because they have vests on that say NFL Films, and that's what they're there for. And they have press credentials.
Yeah, she's like...
Is it Terry Saban? Did Miss Terry ever... Was she ever on the field? And like, well, this is not a rhetorical question. Like, I'm asking, did we miss her on the field in Tuscaloosa in April? Fixing Nick Saban's hair before the spring game?
No, but there's PR and community relations people who do a lot of stuff that Belichick does not consider part of the football side. And I'm sure they're on the field running around saying...
Right, and they all have jobs and titles, and their email is at northcarolina.edu.
But I think on a football team, you make a distinction between the football people and the business people. Like, you guys think they're all the same?
I don't think they're the same.
Okay.
I just...
Well, yesterday we had Ian O'Connor on, literally wrote a book about Belichick, right? And who did he say was one of Belichick's biggest confidants and helpers all throughout the Patriots?
He had a fixer. I forget his name.
Serge Najarian, who was one of the PR guys. It's the same, dude. And Serge was actually employed by the Patriots. And no one took it to the point where anyone thought Bill was asking Serge who should be our backup quarterback. Of course, that's asinine. But to say they're not involved in the football program at large... I think is really willfully ignorant here.
But do you agree that there's a football side and a business side, or you think there is not?
I think in a college program, it's different because on the, like, Kevin Warren, for example, we talked about the Bears a lot this morning.
Yeah, well, he's an exception to every rule, but go ahead.
Well, okay, but he's like, I think of that as getting the stadium done, trying to get sponsorships for the stadium. That's like the president of what they deal with. I think social media goes through all throughout. I think that, you know, public relations goes throughout because the team needs it and the business side needs it. So if she's, and anyone who is working for Bill and being asked to be CC'd on North Carolina emails is part of the program.
Yeah, see, I do disagree a little bit about them. I think the North Carolina is built like an NFL team now. I think they're clear lines. Again, watch a draft room and see if a business side person comes in and says, hey, I think you should take this guy. Like, he'd probably be fired.
Okay, yeah, back to Bogus. Yeah, headlines. Yeah. What else you got? Anything else interesting?
Kevin Warren was he was like a former player, right?
Anything else from the Belichick interview?
No, but I guess from the NFL news, multiple outlets say that the York family is about to sell 6.1% of the 49ers to three different Bay Area families. The purchase based on $8.5 billion valuation of the franchise,
wow,
which would be a North American record.
I believe it. I believe the 49ers would be worth that much.
Yep. And everyone's doing this now.
Who's the three families? Do they know? Not to put you on the spot.
It's just
not famous people. Not Jerry Rice's family.
No, not names that I know.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a total of 6.1% between the three. They're not each buying 6%.
Interesting.
Yes. Let's get to Denver. Game 6 for the Nuggets and Thunder last night. First chance for OKC to advance. And advance, they did not.
Christian has it. Denver looking for the first nail in the coffin here. They get it with a bucket. Bounce pass over to Jokic inside the arc. Gets in the paint. Floater. Good! 14-point lead for Denver. 102-88.
And they'd win 119-107 after trailing by 10 late in the third. The Jokic hoop called by Jason Kosmiski on Nuggets Radio. Jokic finished with 29 plus 14 rebounds and 8 assists. Jamal Murray scored 25 after visiting the most debated clinic ever for an undisclosed illness. All of that means these two are returning to OKC for Game 7 Sunday. The day is important because this will be the first time in 2-plus weeks that the Nuggets will have more than one day off between games. The NHL's best regular season team is still alive this morning, the Jets forcing Game 6 in Dallas tomorrow with a 4-0 home win, 22 saves for Connor Hellebuck. But the NHL's second-best team, that's done. The Capitals bowing out in 5, a 3-1 home loss to the Hurricanes last night. Let's get to round 2, PGA Championship, about 2 hours old. Jonathan Vegas, still your leader from yesterday, a 7-under-64. He's been on the course for about a half an hour. He is even on his first hole today. His lead still 2 shots over Cam Davis and Ryan Gerard. Davis is even through 9 so far here in round 2. I feel like this has happened before.
Here's a 3-1 pitch. And Ohtani just hammers one to center field. It is back. It is gone. His second home run of the night. Shohei Ohtani getting it done with a home run to center field. It is 15-2.
That's Tim Nevrit on Dodgers Radio. Ohtani, a huge night. 2 homers, 6 RBI on another Ohtani bobblehead night. LA, a 19-2 rout of the A's in their rubber game. And finally, an odd baseball story. Former shortstop Rafael Furcal turned himself into Broward County, Florida police Wednesday on 2 felony charges, one of which is throwing a deadly missile into an occupied car. But we don't know any other details. Whatever happened on Monday. But other than that, we don't know who was involved, what kind of missile was thrown. But that is as odd of a charge that I can ever remember reading in one of these stories.
So it's being labeled as a domestic dispute, right?
Yes.
So obviously some of this family. This caught my eye, too. First of all, I haven't heard from Rafael Furcal in a long time. So you're like, hey, what's Rafael Furcal up to? How do you get your hands on a missile? It's like saying a Molotov cocktail or something. This is a crazy story.
Yeah.
Was anyone hurt?
No, I don't think
so.
Thank
God.
Yeah. And whatever happened, like, was not addressed in the moment. Like, it happened, a report was filed, an arrest warrant went out, and he came into a building on Wednesday. So, like, nothing happened in the moment on Monday. But that is a very specific charge and a very unique charge.
Yeah, like when I'm thinking, well, whatever. I was thinking like a missile has to be something that's detonated from far away.
And you shoot a missile. You don't javelin throw it into a car.
You know, hold it in your hand,
right.
Like a grenade, I guess.
I guess.
But even still, how do you get your hands on one of those?
Because I also thought a missile, like you said, it's not a grenade because you have to propel a missile. Like a, you don't ever hold a missile. Like a missile is shot from distance.
What's the matter with this guy?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. What's allegedly the matter with this guy? That was a strange story. Okay, lots more to do, and thank you so much, Bogish. We have.
Oh, by the way, he got out on $7,000 bond, so it sounds like it's also it is feasibly economically to throw missiles and get arrested and be out.
Where'd he get arrested?
In Florida, of course.
Florida, where else?
Yeah. Oh, my. You think $7,000?
$7,000 to get out.
You think this story could have happened anywhere else?
I thought it happened in, like, the DR or something.
I don't know if we'd hear about it.
Well, that's a good point. Well, we did hear about Wander Franco, but that's a different story
that's
for a different
true.
Day.
That was different. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4477.
$7,000?
You got that. That's walking around money for Manny.
Yeah, I mean, big bucks right over here. You know me, I'm about to get into the garden tonight.
You're probably going to need that $7,000 bond money tonight.
And bail money. Because if you don't meet the woman of your dreams, who's going to bail you out?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Although $7,000, you could probably sit in the elevator shaft for that amount tonight.
I don't think so.
Definitely not getting anywhere near the court, that's for sure. Okay.
Maybe the roof.
Lots to do, including some NFL news for you. Don't move.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, this AI baby thing has really taken over the show. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. And I appreciate Andrew Kaplan upgrading to the premium version to create more AI baby photos for all of us. But somehow mine keep getting worse and worse and worse. And everyone else keeps getting cuter and cuter and cuter. It must be some kind of glitch, bro.
So Maggie just showed me a real baby picture of herself. And she does not look a thing like this baby.
Yeah.
You're a perfectly normally proportioned baby, not this weird thing.
Yeah, it's AI version. Although you keep getting better.
Oh, no.
How does that happen?
Oh, no.
What?
I went through, my mom texts me baby photos all the time, and this one is showing.
We get fat Perloff?
No, I got a full Monty going on.
Oh, no, don't show me.
But I will show you. I'll show
it's
you.
It's okay. You're a baby.
No. This, I cut it off.
Were kind of chubby.
I was enormous. Oh, Jesus. Also, too, by the way, it must have been really cold for this photo.
Bogish is walking in to take a look at his baby photo now.
No. Bogish should just storm back in like the Kool-Aid man, yeah?
I actually walked in very gingerly because I'm not sure if I should be here to say this. I think part of the problem, Maggie, is that I can't say it's a baby.
It's an AI-generated baby. Yeah, it's not a real baby. What?
Why is she translating? I'm seeing a real baby picture. She doesn't look a thing like that.
I know. I think the picture is doing you no favors because it's a baby's body. Like,
yeah, the proportions.
Yeah, like you're losing your womanly qualities, and it's not helping the overall aesthetic.
Because the baby is dressed as I was dressed that day for the photo shoot, which is like, you know, a middle-aged woman.
Right, and like
whatever I am, well, but, 40.
Right, and it makes sense on your 40-year-old body. Not on a 24-month-old kid.
Well, Perloff's wearing a suit jacket. But, yeah, nobody has a problem with that.
You look great, too, as a baby.
But little boy, I feel like a blazer translates well from 18 months to 45.
Manny's got a mustache in his, and it's cute.
Yeah, that is cute. And you're dressing like Ricky Lake when you're a tiny girl is not helpful.
Well, you look like middle management in yours, and it didn't hurt yours.
I just think boys' clothes translate better to babies.
No one would dress their daughter like this if she was a year old.
No one would, right.
A year
no
and a half.
Right. If you were taking your daughter to, you know, a communion party or something, you wouldn't dress her in black slacks.
This is not part of the Zara baby collection.
This
I bought
Zara?
It in the adult section.
Is there really a Zara baby collection? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Cap, I'm sorry you had to upgrade to premium here, but it's just getting worse and worse.
Well, if you upgraded to premium, can we get us all baby-fied and get a video in?
Just can't believe I body shamed a baby.
Yeah, you're an awful person.
And you body shamed the baby for not have been through full maturity.
Yeah.
A little creepy. That's all right. I'm glad you busted back in here to tell us that.
I'm so sorry I'm distracted. My mom sends me young... Does your mom do this where she sends you baby photos?
Yeah, when she's cleaning stuff out, she'll find stuff.
Here's a picture of 11-year-old Andrew Perloff in a hula hoop that if my wife ever saw this, she... I mean, is this the biggest nerd you've ever seen in your entire life?
Wow, you're 11 there?
No, actually, you're right. I must be older.
You're wearing the same... Are you wearing
this
the same
This was 2 weekends
jacket?
Ago.
Yeah. I mean...
Can I say it again?
Yes.
They had cameras back
then? Manny, just go to the Webster Merriam Dictionary, look up virgin, and this photo is there.
At 11 years old, I would hope so.
No, I'm a little older. I look
no sports watch party in the world that can help
you. Yeah. This is the weirdest photo. Oh, my God. Can I have Cap AI me to look cool as a teenager? Or now, as a matter of fact?
I was going to say, can we all use a little help? Although, for me, the computer's not working.
Can we get Cap to make us look better, not worse? I think, Maggie, you're right.
I mean, this is just...
Although I look great, although there's clearly... I have a certain smirk a baby gets when he might have just relieved himself in front of people.
It's about the eyebrows. It's a real relief
eyebrows. I have a slight raise, is it? Oh, phew.
What's waiting for you?
Yeah. Well, it's a baby.
It's waiting for that.
Yeah, you know,
the eyebrows are also is like, well, your problem now. Ho hum, hands in the pockets. Anyway, AI Theo Vaughn as a baby worked out great. AI us as babies worked out terribly.
More just you.
Just me.
Manny's fantastic.
Yeah, Manny looks great with the mustache on a baby.
In the Jalen Brunson jersey.
Yeah, that too.
I didn't know we needed that in our lives.
The look on his face, too, it's exactly what Manny's going to look like if the Knicks lose.
Knicks down 12 in the fourth quarter.
Not if, when.
Oh, man. I actually think, in real talk, I think the Knicks are going to win tonight.
Do you think it'll be a down by 18 or 20 in the third quarter comeback game like games 1 and 2?
The Knicks are incapable of playing from ahead. So why wouldn't it go like all the other Knicks games have gone? The problem is you just need more than Brunson. Like, that's got to be... Cat's got to get involved. OG.
It's been a lot of bridges.
They all have to be good in the fourth quarter. And Thibodeau can't blow it, too.
I got to be honest. That seems like a very difficult fan experience to have to come back from 20 in every game. Although, I think if you're Boston and you're looking at Jalen Brunson and it's a close game, you're going to lose. That guy is... We did Shot for Your Life earlier in the week. I've been thinking about that a lot. It's got to be him.
I know, but Jaylen Brown was not only the conference finals MVP and also the finals MVP. Like, he's capable of leaving his mark, much like Perloff's baby phone and whatever's going on in this diaper that is AI generated.
What's everybody's hunch on the Thunder Nugget series?
Yeah, by the time we come back in here on Monday, we're going to have an answer, right?
We're going to have a semifinals.
I actually think it's going to be Denver.
It's funny you say that. I think it's going to be Thunder at home.
Me too. Not easy, though.
I just think Denver only plays five guys. It's kind of like the Knicks. Don't they wear down eventually? Jokic is not immune to fatigue. I just don't think they can just run the same five. I know, but they can't use the same five guys and get out of here.
Here's a question from last night's game. We didn't really talk about last night's game too much, but so Shea gets that third foul. Right in the first half, and they decide to keep him in, which is pretty rare. Although we saw this in college basketball,
was
the Todd Golden effect, Florida Gators head coach, and then he picked up the fourth one though, and it really backfired.
Yep. No, I mean Brunson did that the other day too. But the point is,
Brunson picked up three fouls in a minute and a half. Right,
picked up five in the first quarter, in the third quarter by himself.
That was stupid.
Nefarious.
Who's reffing this game? It's funny. Do we ask this for football? Actually, we do ask this for football. Who's reffing this game? Because that's going to be a big factor.
Yeah. Who's the guy that the Knicks don't like?
Scott Foster?
Scott Foster, right?
Yeah.
I don't think any fan base likes him.
Tonight will be James Capers, Tyler Ford, and Ed Malloy with J.B. DeRosa as the alternate.
Former Andrew Perloff teammate, Ed Malloy. Tell this story. He was on my summer league team. All-time leading scorer at Philadelphia College of Textiles. Major, major basketball player. Played at St. Joe's, too. Anyway, he's a good ref. He's pretty good.
Where does the Philadelphia College of Textiles play, Manny?
It's now called
Palestra.
It's now called Philadelphia College, I think. They're like an elite D2 school.
Oh, Philadelphia University.
Yeah. Right? It used to be called Philadelphia College.
That's where Herb McGee coached.
Yeah, Herb McGee. Herb McGee, who taught me how to shoot free throws. Everyone's in on this Philly Delco official Perloff ring of basketball.
Yeah, there was another ring that was going on with the Delco officials, but that one got investigated by the FBI. That 11-year-old picture of Perloff being a virgin really is coming. No, he should be a virgin at 11, but that's really coming into focus with this Ed Molloy conversation.
I have some basketball pictures, too, in here that you're like, oh, my God, you are such a nerd. I had the full T-shirt on in high school, Patrick Ewing style, to cover up my scrawny arms.
I don't know if anyone's fooling anybody with that.
No, definitely not. But listen, it was desperate times. I was not good looking. I need Cap to go through all my old photos.
Well, he's making up for it because now you got the better baby picture.
Yeah, I need to have him go back in time. If he can make me look like that as a baby. See, you're the opposite. You actually have, I've seen your food. You were an attractive teenager.
I just look the same.
Meant. Yeah, you were pretty good. I don't know, were you guys nerds as the teenagers? Like,
you got gay, man.
Yeah, Maggie, you were fine.
Hey, you were good.
As 16-year-old, you didn't have to be desperate like the rest of us. I don't know. Was anyone here a playa in high school?
Yeah.
Connor? We're looking at you.
Connor was like,
okay. I mean, no.
He did all right.
Yeah, I don't want to brag.
He was pulling like eights.
Wow.
Connor Armstrong has not spoken into the microphone all day. He just walked in here 5 seconds before the bed goes. Yeah. I pulled back in high school. Yeah,
was I slinging?
Yeah. I did.
Listen, I got a couple names and numbers for you. Why don't you call her up? Yeah. See if she's
evidently.
At see if she's going to the next party.
Connor. All right. Didn't realize we were in the presence of royalty.
Wow.
Very good. Manny Rodriguez.
Bring him to the watch party tonight, Manny.
Careful, Connor. Steal your girl Armstrong. Manny, great job this week. Fantastic. Thank you, Bogus and Kaplan, all over it. Weedos!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.